Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good evening, everyone. I'm delighted to have Ryan Dawson with us. He warned us that there was going to be an illegal invasion of Iran a long time ago. We have seen the cretinous answers from the Trump administration come out as to justify this. We're liberating the people. Didn't liberate the schoolgirls, did they? We're going to annihilate the nuclear weapons. Oh, but last year they annihilated the nuclear weapons. Obliterated that they've been claiming Iran's 2 weeks away. Iran's just 2 weeks away. They would have bombed us already if we didn't do this operation. Anyway, I don't think this administration even knows why they are in the deep state players above them have manipulated this. It's you know, Project for New American Centuries. This is a long time coming, folks. And the absolute crap they are telling us to try and justify doing the exact opposite of what they campaigned on. So it was bad when they said, move on, nothing to see here, Epstein files. That was pretty bad, and a lot of people turned against them. But saying you're the peace president, no more illegal wars, perpetual wars, never-ending wars, looking at what he said to Obama, Trump said to Obama, about why you should not invade Iran, and now all of a sudden, oh, it's the greatest, brilliantest, most wonderful campaign in the history of warfare is going into Iran. These guys are... What are they smoking, Ryan?
The Navy six times. I think it's right there on your jacket, that lovely jacket you got there. It explains what Epstein Fury is. I mean, yeah. Put that out, that client list out many, many years ago. I told everybody they're definitely going to war with Iran. It has nothing to do with any recent decisions about uranium enrichment or any of that. Israel wants Iran out of the way so they can create greater Israel for land annexation, ethnic cleansing, what these little demons like to do. That's all it is. And Trump, you know, they got him over a barrel. He is an Epstein client. He will do whatever they say. And he's just lying over and over again to the public. Oh, him and Hegseth, the war's going great. They don't have any air defense. Next day, F-35 shot out of the air. Another F-16 down today. Oh, well, they're running out of missiles. No, the missiles have gotten bigger. And now they have MIRVs hitting Israel, who doesn't have any interceptors, or they don't have any radar. I think it's a little bit, they don't have radar and they have very little interceptors, and what they do have doesn't work very well anyway. But it's not going well, and it's about to get worse. If he really does send the Marines in when the markets close after Friday, that's not going to go well. You can't even hold on to the Gulf territories on the other side of the Strait of Hormuz. How are you going to take an island or worse, a coastal area of Iran? You can't even keep Kuwait. But that seems, you know, why start it in the first place? It's so much hot air. He said, we're going to send in the Kurds. The Kurds said, no, we're not doing that. We're going to have an international armada and we're going to open the Strait of Hormuz. Everyone from France to Japan said, no, we're not doing that. And then he started bombing the coastal regions, saying, well, we'll just blow up the land batteries because we've already blown up the Navy for the eighth time. Yeah, it's 1,000 miles and it's about 5 or 6 miles deep. You're trying to hit something the size of a gun over an area the size of Vietnam. Good luck. Yeah, so that's not going to work. And now he wants to send in the 82nd Airborne, and he's like, oh, we're going to bring in the Tripoli and the Boxer, and we're going to go to this island on this day with this many troops in this ship. They're not going to do that either. It's all hot air. He's trying to say stuff to kind of stave off the market panic. And today was the best because he said today, yesterday, depending on your time zone, he said, oh, yeah, they're ready to negotiate. They want to negotiate with us so bad. And we're talking to them. But see, the problem is there's no one to talk to. That's an Israeli talking point, by the way. You talk to the Ayatollah. He's the leader. He's there. He hates your guts, by the way. They're all there. They're not dead. They've all been, everyone you've killed has been replaced. Well, you know, we can't say who we're talking to because they're afraid they might get killed. So he's talking to invisible Iranians. He's proposing a plan to them that supposedly they want. And they gave him a gift, but he can't tell you what it is or show you or say what it was. Because that is like, are the Iranians you're talking to in the room with you now? Like, you're not. What he did do is he tried intermediaries because Iran won't talk to the United States since they did attack them twice under the guise of negotiations. They don't want to negotiate. So he had Turkey and Pakistan. He tried to get Egypt. Egypt told him no. Turkey and Pakistan's like, look, this is the U.S.'s demands. And Iran said, here's our demands. These are our own demands, which is pretty consistent with what I've been saying. They want the American footprint out of the Gulf. So no more bases surrounding Iran, these adjacent countries, you know, from Kuwait to the UAE, Bahrain, Qatar, all that. Get it out. Get rid of it. Can't have that. We will do whatever energy program we want. Our missile program is our own business. And you're going to also pay reparations, and you stop attacking Hezbollah, and you know Israel needs to stop attacking all those neighbors. And the U.S., you know, has said nothing about Iran's demands. They're like, well, you need to open the Strait of Hormuz. Like, okay, we will. To who we feel like. So, those who didn't attack Iran, like recently, they let a Thai ship through. They're letting the Japanese through. They let India through, but at a premium price. They have to pay a toll. But that's kind of normal in the Maritime Silk Road. Panama does it. Suez Canal does it. The Turks do it. So why not? And that might just be the future. Everything passing through there, you got to pay to Iran for the privilege of going through their waterway. Good job. That's what you get. But Israel preemptively doing a surprise attack on Iran for the fourth time. This is true promise four. They're very measured in their other three responses. They could have done this then. They didn't. They could have done this in June. They didn't. But when America attacked, they said, okay, it's our existence at stake. So they wiped out the Gulf bases. They could wipe out energy. They haven't done that yet, but they did blow up a little bit in Qatar and Kuwait to show, hey, you really want to play this game? I don't think you do. And yeah, oil's been going up, down, up, down. It shot up because there's less supply, less competition. That's obvious. It went down from a very high price. Now, it starts around $59.60 for crude. I'm just going to use crude as the benchmark. It went all the way up to like $111. Then it goes down in the 90s, 89, 90, somewhere in there. It went to 83, which is still a huge increase because remember, it starts at $59.60. And that was because Trump lifted sanctions on Russia and Iran. So there was more supply. Russia's allowed to sell. Then Putin gives this long speech and says, yeah, we could help Europe with your gas and oil, but only for long-term commitments. We're not going to do this stuff where you get it because you're in crisis mode and then you stab us in the back later. Because we can turn east very easy. They need it too. And you know, China and the rest of the Asian nations would be happy to buy the oil. And Europe's, you know, ought to be just take that deal, but they love self-sabotage, especially Germany. They hate themselves or something. So that did ease the market a little bit. Getting Russian oil and getting Iranian oils allowed they lifted the sanctions on that, which he had to do because they just sent it out anyway. There's nothing you can do about it. But Iran cannot make up the gap of all the oil and liquid gas that was lost by all the Gulf states shutting down production or being stuck in the Strait of Hormuz. And if anyone says, well, why don't they just go to the Red Sea? They do. Saudi Arabia is doing that, but you're talking 7 million barrels versus 20, 22 million barrels. So it just, the pipelines and infrastructure cannot support all of that. This is why they were fighting so much with Yemen. They wanted a direct route that circumvented both the Red Sea and Strait of Hormuz. They wanted a deep water port. Yemen's been fighting with Saudi Arabia since the 60s, you know, even before that really, but in modern times. And so that, you know, the Houthi are firmly on Iran's side. That's another 400,000 fighters that have not been activated. That's more than the U.S. and Israel put together, by the way. They're left there with no allies. The radar's been destroyed. Hezbollah is taking out northern Israel. They have destroyed the port of Haifa. They have been hitting the staging areas. Every time Israel tries to do a gathering, they get pegged by rockets, drones, or missiles. It's like they didn't watch the war up north at all. You can't, if you watched Ukraine, Russia, you could watch the transition of war, you know, armored division, all that's out. It's all tree lines and drones, and it's different now. It's very mobile. You got to be very scattered. You can't bunch up because of drones. The Israelis have not learned that lesson. They lost 21 tanks today, just today, 21. That's embarrassing. And Hezbollah does have, it appears, these Cornet missiles from Syria. So although Syria collapsed, all those weapons didn't just disappear, get decommissioned. They went on black markets and they ended up in Lebanon and Iraq. And so did Syrian veterans. There are SAA members in giving their expertise to the PMU as well as Hezbollah. So, you know, Syria is still in this fight somewhat. You know, those guys are still alive and they are helping their allies take down Zag. And they just don't have an off-ramp because they keep lying. They keep saying, they're begging us to negotiate. They have no air force. They have no navy. They have no missiles. They have no air defense. They have no communications, blah, blah, blah. None of that is true. The opposite is true. The U.S. bases on the Gulf have been destroyed. You've run out of interceptors. You're very low on standoff munitions. And let me explain why that's so important. In the beginning, the America has a very powerful air force because they can outrange anyone else. So they can shoot, they can hover over Iraq and shoot a missile into Iran further than any air defense system, and they can tag pretty much wherever they want. They do have very impressive, you know, Tomahawk Block 4s and 5, glide missiles, all that. But there's a limited amount of that. And those things are extremely complicated to make and extremely expensive. And you can't just, like, make the factories go burr. The components, they don't have them. They don't have the gallium. They don't have the neon. They don't have rare earth. There's a lot of complex things you need. And the supply line chains aren't there. The machine tooling's not there. They don't have the milling tools. They can't make it. Even if they got Japan fully on board, which it is not on board, that's maybe another extra 100 a year. They don't have it. So they do have JDAMs and JASMs. They have enough of those to bomb Iran all year if they want. However, you got to fire those within around 40 miles, which means Iran can hit you back. And that's why we're seeing F-15s, F-16s, F-35 getting hit, as well as refuelers getting hit. And they even hit the refuelers on the ground at the Prince Sultan Air Base in Saudi Arabia. You're going to see more aircraft. Israel lost an F-16, an American-made one, but they lost an F-16 to air defense. So it's not that the Iranian air defense wasn't working or anything. It just can't do anything about those standoff munitions. But once you burn through those and you have to go into Iran to hit targets, well, now you're vulnerable. They can hit you back. And honestly, it seems like their target packages are, they don't know what to hit. They had outdated maps. That's why they blew up a school, and they blamed it on Iran, but it wasn't. They double tapped it. That was a Block 4 Tomahawk. It's a Tomahawk. That's America. There's absolutely no question about it. They blew up a school. They could apologize. They could say it was a mistake. They're not. They're like, you did that. Liars. They just will not own up to what they've done, and that's just turning the entire public against them. And you're also seeing a kind of rejuvenation, like Iraq, after two wars, starvation, sanctions, millions killed from America's wars there, you know, generations wiped out. And they watched love. Everybody in Iraq knows someone killed by the Americans. That's how many people died. This brutal sanctions that Clinton did, you know, children are starving to death. People are drinking out of the Euphrates. They got weird diseases. They blew up their chlorination so they couldn't treat their water. And then the second Iraq war, you know, hundreds of thousands murdered. Bomb Fallujah, bomb Mosul. It was disgusting. And they had mercenaries running around and all the horrors of both Iraq wars. But now, combined with their Shia brothers and their and Iran, they're seeing Iraqis take over American bases in Iraq. There's footage today of Victoria, which is a base in Baghdad, where the drone flew over just unopposed, took out a helicopter, and it can show all the destruction on that base. The U.S. embassy in Iraq, also in Baghdad, which is not an, it's an embassy, but it's a base. It's bigger than Vatican City. It's this huge complex. It's getting destroyed, and it's being destroyed by Iraqis. That F-35, that was shot down by Iraqis. That's, you know, a lot of Iraq is, you're messing with a big chunk of Iraq as well as Iran plus Hezbollah. And then you've got the Houthis in Yemen just on the, you know, waiting on the sidelines. It's a mess. And the Gulf allies, they don't have anything. They have money. Well, look at Dubai and these areas now. No tourists, real estate plummeting. Some of their hotels were bombed, unfortunately, because they let the spooks stay there. So Iran hit those too. Iran's not at war with UAE. They're at war with U.S. bases in the UAE. But sometimes they're allowing Mossad or CIA in the civilian areas. And yeah, they'll bomb them wherever they are. Too bad. Don't put them there. It's really bad for them. Really, really bad for Bahrain. They might not exist after this war. Bahrain's been so destroyed. I don't think the monarchy is going to be able to hold on to that territory. I think it's over for them. Kuwait airfields destroyed. Qatar, a little bit less so, because after they watched what happened to their neighbors, they said, okay, we won't let the U.S. use us as a launching pad. And so far that's held for like 3 days. We'll see if they stick to it. Yesterday there was a storm in that area, in UAE and Qatar, but whatever. Saudi Arabia and Jordan are getting hit. They don't seem to have any air defense left either. It's really a game of numbers, ballistic missiles versus interceptors. Not only are ballistic missiles cheaper and easier to make, Iran has a lot more of them. Plus, they have the drones. And now you're looking at solid fuel rockets coming down with MIRVs and with cluster munitions. And I don't want to hear Israel cry about cluster bombs when they use cluster bombs and MK-77, which is a chemical weapon, all manner of weapons they use that are illegal. And they refuse to sign on to the treaty to get rid of cluster bombs. So boo-hoo, you never signed that anyway. Deal with it. Those are anti-personnel usually, but they're using them on whatever they feel like to take out buildings and things as well. It's pretty hilarious. They're really just getting rid of air defense systems, what's left. That's why they're using clusters. And then they'll just have their choice of whatever targets they want. Dimona, West Jerusalem, go hit their Popeye missile storage. They can hit whatever they want. And Israel cannot copy Iran. They can't just dig in and go under the mountain because they don't have any. Iran is surrounded with mountains. And that's why the U.S. and Israel can't get at their ballistic missile stockpiles. They're underground. And they can fire from the ground, too. They're silos. They can just pop right out of the desert and then disappear. It just looks like dirt from a satellite. They have no clue where they are. It's a huge country. It's about as big as Western Europe. And you have to remember on a map, everything in the north looks bigger than it is, right? So if you were to really look at it like on a globe, Iran's about the size of Western Europe, 90 million people. You cannot possibly find all those missile silos. Doesn't matter. Even if you could had infinite fuel and you could fly around and bomb whatever you wanted, you wouldn't be able to do it. It's just too much territory to cover. They don't have the intelligence about where these things are. Plus, some of them are mobile. So if you do find one, it won't be there the next time you go. So Iran's be able to maintain this offense. They can't shoot them all at once. That would be noticeable. But they're just, you know, here, there, wave. What are we on? Wave 90-something. I'm wondering when it gets to 109 if they'll hit the settlements. But it seems like they hit one today in Israel. They hit settlers. And that's just so satisfying. These squatters that went in and took land from Palestinians are like, yeah, now you have to worry about rubble and run to the shelter. And it's your turn. And it's just, I've almost run out of popcorn. They made every mistake. Like, the America has the tools to win this war, or they did in the beginning. But they've just made strategic and tactical mistakes one after another. I swear the people planning this are like video gamers or something. They're talking about Karg Island. Are you out of your mind? Do you see how deep that is in the Strait of Hormuz? You're not even going to reach it.
Yeah, watching them, they're like it's like listening to children who think they're states people. But Ryan, do you think one of the reasons they could be sending troops is because this war is so unpopular, even in relation to Afghanistan and Iraq? If American soldiers start to die, they're hoping that some will get killed and that will generate support for the war, and people will start to rail against Iran and America.
Then why lie about the casualties you've already taken? You know, that's already trying to hide.
Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, you don't want to embarrass the Marines and them bragging, look, we took out this Delta Force or this Marine group or that. But this isn't Vietnam. Like, you can't just control the narrative because you put whatever is on you want on TV and no one else can say anything back. This is the internet. So people like me can get on and be like, this is so stupid. You're going to send these people to die. And then they die. You're like, yeah, you died for Israel. I'm not going to hear anything like, well, Iran's about to build a nuclear bomb. That is not true. And you know it. This is Israel's war. I put it in films and stuff like, Iran is the next play we're going to do. We're going to do Iraq, and then Syria, then Libya, then Iran. I said that before all those wars started, because Netanyahu wrote a book and he put his whole plan in the book, what he wanted to do. And you can remember Wesley Clark coming down and saying, we're going to attack seven nations in 5 years. And he gives you the list. This is Netanyahu's list. It's not about nuclear weapons. They said the same thing about Iraq. They said he was reconstituting his nuclear weapons program. That wasn't true. Gaddafi got rid of his, and he still invaded Libya. And Assad got rid of his chemical weapons, and they still invaded Syria with ISIS proxies. So it doesn't matter what they did or didn't do. Their war was coming no matter what. So what Iran did is it prepared. It's like, okay, we can't defeat the U.S. Air Force. We can't defeat the U.S. Navy. But what we can do is put ballistic missiles so far underground that they can't get at them, and we'll hit Israel and all their allies. They're not going to fire a missile all the way to Virginia or something. They can't even reach the United States. But they can blow up the bases, and they can smash the boy. They can hit Israel all day, all night, and they know it. And they know if they close the Strait of Hormuz, it puts an economic stranglehold on the globe. It's put enormous pressure on Trump to knock it off. Why'd you start this war? Why don't you send the Israeli Navy to open it up? They're the ones that started the war. You didn't even ask them. You asked China, and you didn't ask Israel. I don't know why you asked China. Like, well, because you're oil too. China can just politely say, send the oil, and Iran will. And that's what they did. And that's what happened.
I've got a poll running, and most people, 85, is USA attacking Iran illegal? 85%, justified 15% right now.
I mean, legal, illegal is based on how powerful you are. It is might make right. But there was no justification to do it. And Israel started it for the fourth time. And the U.S. is like, well, we got to go because they're going to attack us now. You're the one that put a bunch of bases around Iran. If you were not there, they wouldn't attack you because they couldn't. You know how far Iran is from the United States? When they were mad, like, oh, look, they hate Diego Garcia. Maybe. I'm like, Diego Garcia is 9,000 miles away from the coast of the United States. Why are you there? It's a U.S.-U.K. base to do what? To project their power in that area. And look at how far down they've had to go. Why aren't you in Oman or the UAE? Yeah, you can't. What happened to Gerald Ford? Mutiny. And people were like, oh, it got hit. And I'm like, no, it's worse. Because they had a toilet problem before the war started. They already broke all of the commodes, and then they broke the laundry, and they set fire to the boat. Those sailors have been on that ship for a year. That's insane. Dock it already. So finally they get some shore leave. You know, and the fire, no one put any real effort into it. Was like 30 hours it was burning. They didn't care. They wanted to get out of this. They don't want to die for Israel. Nobody does. Now, the Marines are a little big. Go ahead.
But Iran is the biggest sponsor of terrorism in the Middle East through its proxies, Ryan, and they're days away from having nuclear bombs. We just hear this over and over and over again. That's every talk show of ISIS.
You know, you bring in the leader of ISIS to the White House and shake his hand. Remember how Al-Qaeda got started? Oh, yeah, that was us. Saudi Arabia and the UAE are the ones financing Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, the RSF in Sudan, AUKPA, Mujahideen Al-Khok, MEK, Baluchistani terrorists, plus ISIS, Aral al-Sham, HGS was Turkey. Fine, that's one that was someone else. But it was got, and the Muslim Brotherhood out of Qatar. Like, you guys sponsored terrorism. I mean, Israel is a terrorist state. Israel was founded by terrorist groups, Haganah and Palmach, with, child molesting bank money printers like the Rothschilds created a state that has done nothing but harass all their neighbors from its inception. They had Nakba in the beginning, 700,000 to 800,000 people forcibly removed off their land, Manifest Destiny 2.0 style. They attacked Egypt. They attacked Jordan. They attacked Syria. They attacked Lebanon. They attacked the U.S.'s own ship. They attacked the British with the SS Patria. Israel has always been a terrorist state. I mean, what they did in Gaza is unconscionable. Like, even ISIS got a line. They were like, well, we wouldn't even do that. They're blowing up hospitals, churches, mosques, kids. They tortured children. They tortured a 10-month-old baby, burning cigarettes on his knees and things, like, in front of the father to get a forced confession. These people, they're demonic. And for them to be like, oh, Iran's a terrorist. All the Salafist groups are Sunni. Iran is Shia. Iran was fighting ISIS. Right? Iran was fighting. They are the ones that have a war on terror. The U.S. and Israel, it's a war of terror. And what do you call dumping Agent Orange in Vietnam and nuking two cities in Japan? I'm like, what is that? Which terrorist did that? How do you justify twice using nuclear weapons on civilians? Because that's what America did. They killed 2 million people in Vietnam, and it's like 80% of those deaths were civilian. They killed a large number of civilians in the Korean War, too, because they were losing and they just started bombing whatever had a roof. This is how they fight.
So, Ryan, if you go back to the British Empire and, you know, the Americans, hasn't Iran been brutalized going back for almost a century by these empires?
Yeah, I mean, you could go back. In modern times, I guess you could start around 1953. With Operation Ajax. But prior to that, you had severe exploitation from British petroleum companies since the 30s, since the oil was discovered. So that had been started. And then, yeah, the revolution in 79, so on. You had a brutal, like, 8.5-year war with Iran and Iraq, where the U.S. was propping up Iraq with Saddam Hussein. And then they turn and attack him. It's just constant. And look at all the terrorist attack. Stuxnet, that's a terrorist attack. That could have caused a fission reaction and blown up a plant. Assassinating nuclear scientists, that's an act of terrorism. Blowing up hundreds of people at funerals, that's an act of terrorism. And then all these trauma, 1, 2, 3, those were all started by the Israelis who preemptively went in and bombed targets in Iran. That's an act of terrorism. Killing, schoolgirls, murdering the Ayatollah, murdering Raisi from a helicopter, like, all these are acts of terrorism. Killing the negotiators. They even went to assassinate negotiators in Qatar that were trying to negotiate on behalf of Palestine.
Wasn't Churchill involved in getting British Petroleum 80% of Iran's oil money? Only 20% went to Iran. And then, you know, the democratic leader of Iran was overthrown. Wasn't it in the 1950s? And then the Americans came in?
Yeah, it was Kermit Roosevelt and some, what we call, I call it rent-a-crowd. You know, they rent, it's a astroturf. It's the opposite of grassroots. You pay demonstrators. And they decided to do a coup in Iran and put their own little faction in charge. And it's ironic because from 53 to 79, Israel was Iran's ally. Iran co-constructed the pipe that goes to Eilat. It's now closed because of the Houthi, but they helped build that, and a large portion of their oil used to come from Iran. If you read Jimmy Carter's book, Peace Not Apartheid, it's called Palestine, Peace Not Apartheid, he gets into the oil politics, and it is a weird irony, but after Iran took control, immediately they start making plans, and they throw Iran into a brutal war with Iraq. Then they attack Iraq in 91. Then they attack him again in 2003. And then they attacked Syria. Well, of course, 2006, they tried to attack Lebanon, but lost. All throughout, they've been attacking Palestine. You had CAS-LED. You had Pillar of Defense. You had Protective Edge. Then you had the 2018 March for Peace, where they just every Friday they go out there and just snipers would shoot Palestinians for like a year. Like tens of thousands of people got kneecapped or hit in the groin or blinded. It's disgusting. Then there was the 2021 crisis where they bombed Palestine again, blew up media buildings, destroyed their water treatment, all, you know. And then, of course, 2023, October 7th, finally, they get some comeuppance after all this abuse. And then for, you know, 3 years, they just bombed everything there ever was. 71,000 dead that they admit. 300 people are skeletons found in a mass grave yesterday. Yeah, they're hiding this stuff, just incinerated, put them all in a pit. That number is going to go way up. But the thing is, journalists, if you'll get shot if you go. Like, they won't let you report how bad it is in Gaza because the Israelis will shoot the media. And everyone knows this. Everyone's like, they're just allowed to shoot journalists, I guess. They're terrorists. That's what they are.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It seems to me that the media focuses on, you know, when the Ayatollah got in and how evil that regime was, but they don't ever give the backstory of how Iran ended up in that situation, which was at the hands of the West.
And the Savak that used to go around and torture people, the secret police, they were trained by Israelis. They used to work with Shin Bet. I mean, that's where they learned that craft. And you can criticize, oh, I don't like this government, that government. But like, I don't care. You can't bomb schools full of girls. It's not up to you. I know they had a currency collapse. I know there are people who really want to protest how things are going in Iran and whatever. But that's not why the U.S. and Israel are attacking them. They are attacking Iran because Iran supports Hezbollah and the Houthis, who defend the area from Israel's aggression. That's what they want. They want them out of the way so they can make greater Israel. And some of these dispensationalist weirdos think that they can bring about the end times prophecies and the Messiah will come back and they'll blow up the Dome of the Rock and all this eschatological nonsense. And they're like, no, you're just murdering innocent people. You're nuts. You cannot bring about the Book of Revelations.
Like, wasn't that sent to some troops that they were, the purpose of the war was that Trump's anointed by God to bring about Armageddon in the Middle East and the second coming of Jesus?
They sent some weirdo pastors to tell the troops, like, this is like the war of the worlds and prophecy and bring back the Messiah and all this other rhetoric. Like, no, this is profiteering for a bunch of billionaires that are R-word kids who want Iran out of the way so they can control the flow of oil and gas to enrich themselves, to enslave you, to make a rich man's playground so they can sexually exploit your women and enslave your men to the point where just using you in the century as spare parts for organs.
Well said. I'm looking they at Brent crude. I'm looking at Brent crude right now. And the
that should price be a little higher than crude.
It's going back up today, this morning, since the market opened. It's up 4% at 102 a barrel. It looks like it's trending up. It's just had some huge swings. Do you think, you know, Iran has stated the goal is $200 a barrel, which would be like the oil shocks of the 1970s, which caused global recessions? Do you think we're on that trajectory, or do you think it's more like a Gulf War One, Gulf War Two, where we saw a little hit in the stock market?
No, it's in between. I think it'll hit 150, which is bad enough, right? I think it for the highest spike in the Gulf War was 125. I think we'll hit 150. I hope it doesn't go to 200. But listen, if you start bombing Iranian infrastructure, they will wipe out the Gulf and it'll blow past 200. 200, you're going to wish it was only 200.
And you mentioned,
hope they're not that stupid.
You mentioned Dimona, and we saw some hits near Dimona. What is the significance of Dimona?
Dimona is where Israel's nuclear power plant is and where they get their enriched uranium for their illegal and weapons program for the bombs that they have some weird ambiguity where everyone knows they have them, but they won't admit they have them, but they've got hundreds of them. And they first acquired that by stealing it from the United States. It's embarrassing. Now, it's not like if you bomb Dimona, it'll create a fission reaction and go Chernobyl. But they're just saying, we can shut down this power plant, and we know what it is, and we know where the missiles are. Now, Israel's nuclear weapons that they actually have, you want to take out their delivery systems, would be more safe. And those are in West Jerusalem right now. I follow them around, and it's like, hey, hit here. You know, get rid of those Popeyes, and then it doesn't matter what they have if they can't deliver it to Iran. So take those out. But hitting Dimona, too, that's a very, like, a highly defended area. The whole Negev is. And what you're seeing is, I think they move whatever was left in the north down to the middle to protect that area. And the reason I say this is because if you look at the attacks from Hezbollah, which is they even using rockets, something the Iron Dome actually can defend against, not a missile, rockets. And the rockets are landing, and because there's no radar left. Everything along the blue line, Hezbollah knew where it was and took it out. And so without their eyes and ears, even rockets are hitting. And the fact that that really sends us home to know, like, they can't even see it, is because usually if something's incoming, the sirens go off, they have early warning, people run to the shelters. There's no alarms. The alarms aren't going off because there's no radar. And so it's just kadoom. They just surprise, you know, bang, bang, bang. They don't know. They can just go live down there. Well, but they can't keep running back and forth, and they don't know when the wave is coming or where it's going because they don't have any radar left other than around Dimona and the very vital areas. They've just sacrificed Haifa, which is their big northern port. Not anymore. They said they were going to invade Lebanon. Like, you can't even defend your own northern cities. And every time, when you lose 21 tanks, I don't think the armor is like in modern war. Is the way to go. There is a way you could use it, but if you look at the summer offensive in Ukraine, how poorly that went because of landmines and drones, that's just not going to work. And that's over a much larger area. I mean, they got a funnel in Lebanon. So yeah, forget about it. Those tank crews are getting massacred, and the staging areas of the IDF, they keep getting hit and harassed, and Israel doesn't adjust. Hey, idiot, you like break those platoons up, spread them out the way Russia and Ukraine do. They're not. They just, and Hezbollah is just picking them off. They don't know where Hezbollah is because they made a major adjustment since June. They knew, get rid of your telecommunications because Israel can spy on your phone. They can listen to you. They can locate you. They just quit using them. They go into the hills and disappear. Israel doesn't have the human resources to know where they are and what's going on. They relied totally on AI and eavesdropping on phones and technical stuff. And Hezbollah went full Ted Kaczynski. They just, like the Unabomber, they just went and disappeared, and they don't know where they are. They're using like walkie-talkies and stuff. They can't find them, but Hezbollah can find you, and they are tagging them. Now, Beirut is paying a price because Israel can just fly over and drop bombs on civilians. That's how they fight. But battlefield-wise, that won't make a difference. They're losing soldiers. Hezbollah is not really losing soldiers. Israel's losing equipment. They've lost radar. They've lost tanks. They've lost personnel. They've lost their port. They were losing power. The lights went off for a while in Tel Aviv. The only thing you could see in the night sky were the fires from the buildings.
All right, Ryan. So in the very beginning, you said that, you know, their leadership in the U.S. running the war is incompetent. And I think Hegseth personifies that. I mean, this guy, he's just an absolute man-child. Even so, Iran's military expenditure annually is about 20 billion max. America's is a trillion. If you've got that much money invested in your weaponry, shouldn't you be wiping Iran in the blink of an eye? Or is it all, does all that money go in their own pockets? It's all corrupt. It's all going to Palantir, Raytheon, etc.
Well, I mean, yeah, a little bit of it is just MIC profiteering, but it's, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen The Pentagon Wars. There's a movie. Kelsey Grammer's in it. It's a great movie. It just goes over the Bradley fighting vehicle. What a piece of ass that thing was. And it costs like $11 billion of R&D. And then each unit is however much it is. It's a transport vehicle, or it's supposed to be. It ended up being a hybrid everything that can do nothing. Just like the body armor that's every color. Because Ralph Lauren got this much money to put in a certain color green, and this other company got this much to put in a gray. And unless you're laying in a gravel pit, it's useless. Because like you have different camo for different scenarios, like urban, desert, jungle. And so you can't have a one for all of them, because that just means none of them. But they made it anyway because of money. So there's a lot of waste. That F-35 program, $1.5 trillion for a plane that can't fly in the rain. They all had to have different versions. The Navy needed one, and they made one. I think it's the C class. It didn't have a landing hook for the carrier. See, it completed the whole plane and forgot, oops, we don't have the right hook. It's just, I wrote a book a while back, it was back in 2018. Do I have it here? I'm not sure. I do. It's called The Separation of Business and State. And it's got the little Monopoly dude on the front.
Yeah. I've got and, it on my shelf.
Yeah, in here, if you flip to the military section, it shows you how much they just wasting money. And the thing is, spending more doesn't make it better. It only makes it more expensive. So you can build a $1.1 billion radar. It can still be destroyed by one drone. You know, it's still fragile. It's like a high-maintenance car. That McLaren, Ferrari, or whatever, it does real well on a racetrack. But I'd rather have a Toyota for anything else, because if there's a pebble, that's gone. You know, like it's too fragile. It's high performance in very specific conditions. But Lockheed, Raytheon, and so on, they make a lot of money to put all this gook and stuff on the F-22 Raptor, the F-35, ABCD, whatever. And, you know, like, okay, the A-10 is a good plane, the Warthog. The F-15 and 16 were good for their time period. But you see, these things that were made during the Cold War, where they had a real enemy, they had to take it seriously, they made them combat effective. But after, from 1991 on, everything they made is just about how many jobs it makes in different congressional districts, and they just start adding. They made a transport video made of aluminum, okay? Aluminum is a very soft metal. Your bullet goes right through. They did this crap with, like, well, it's got to stand up to Soviet-era weaponry. So they found the lowest grade, like, Romanian, like really bad ammo, and after like a series of tests, they got it to survive a shot from that. But it's ridiculous. And the F-35, like, they don't use liquid air; it pulls oxygen through the sleeve. The pilots are passing out. It's got so many problems, just like the toilets and laundry on fire on the Gerald Ford. I think sailors did that, but still, if not. That's a multi-billion-dollar aircraft carrier. I mean, you have to go dock it because the internal structures aren't working. They waste money. There's so much pork and there's so much bull. They're like, let's build some THAADs. I'm like, that's cool if they only have like 80 missiles to fire. But what if they have 800 or 45,000? Then what? Even if you blocked it 1-to-1, doesn't matter. You're out. They're not. It's like playing war in a card game. Somebody puts down a king, so you just throw out a 2 and like, fine, you got my 2, whatever. You just get rid of their king and then you keep going. That's kind of what the THAAD's like, is you're useless, and without the radar, it doesn't work, and you didn't find a way to protect the radar. They're using PAC-2s in the Gulf. That's the Patriot, second-generation Patriot missile. It had a 19% success rate. It's not very good. You got to fire 5 of those to hit something. Well, a little 5 and change. 19% success rate. It doesn't even hit missile to missile. It just goes up and then explodes in hopes the shrapnel will set off the other things. Really bad. And we can find them. We found debris from those. That's the ones you see when they fire a whole bunch of stuff. Interceptors are using PAC-2s. Patriot 3 is probably the best of the worst. You know, like, none of them very good. And they don't have any more of those. They've run out. So PAC-3 is out. There are some, but they're in Ukraine, and he won't let go.
So isn't Iran exposing this military-industrial complex boondoggle, cracking the very foundation of the petrodollar? Because the U.S. was supposed to protect all of these Middle Eastern countries with this expensive equipment, And it's been shown to be an absolute scam.
If the U.S. wanted to protect the petrodollar, then why put sanctions on Iran in the first place? Or Iraq? Iran and Iraq were happy to buy oil in dollars. They're happy to trade with the United States. It's because of Israel that we went to war with Iraq and put sanctions on Iran. And because you put sanctions on Iran, they started getting away from the dollar. Like your behavior, you're not invading to make them get on the dollar. They were already on the dollar. Your invading made them get off the dollar. The Japan, I know, because I was living there during this time period. From 2007 to 2019, they bought oil from Iran, and they bought it with yen. India, same thing. They bought oil from Iran, and they bought it with the rupee. They're already off the dollar. And China would buy it in yuan, because Iran's not going to sell something in dollars when they're being sanctioned and having their assets frozen and all that. Same thing with Russia. They started doing bilateral trades and because you kicked them off the dollar. So I don't want to hear this stuff where people are like, well, they're doing it for the petrodollar. Like, that's not only wrong. It's the exact opposite of what you just said. They're getting away from the dollar because you invade them and because you put sanctions on them. We're at war for Israel. And it's because of Israel that we're going to lose the dollar.
How are they going to finance the war? Because they got to do the treasury auctions. And now all these countries are trying to rebuild their economies, these Middle Eastern countries that bought a lot of the treasuries. China dumping treasuries.
So is Japan. Like, they're selling bonds. They have to, you know. And that's the other argument against petrodollars. Like, if you really wanted that, why are they always begging China and Japan to stop buying so many treasuries? Like, it's not what people think. It's just an excuse to shift blame away from the Israelis. All of our wars in the Middle East have been because of Israel. It's because of Zionist ideology that wants to take out they want no regional competitors, militarily or economically, to their hegemony. And so in a lot of these Gulf states, there is a deal with Saudi Arabia to sell in dollars. That's the one example. But they were supposed to, it's like a protection racket. America's supposed to defend all these Gulf Arabs. And they learn real fast, no, we don't care about you. We're only defending Israel. The radar that's in your country is for early warning to support the Israelis. Like, they threw them under the bus. And I think Qatar figured it out. I think the rest of them figured it out too late, because Bahrain is done, and so is Kuwait. And Iraq's being, you know, Iraq is a different case. They hate the Americans already. UAE is stubbornly. They're like half and half. They have some conflict there. Some of them are like, go the way of Qatar. The others like, no, stick with America. If they are used as a springboard for attacking islands in the Gulf of Oman, which is what I think America is about to do. I don't think they're going to Karg Island. If they attack areas from the Gulf of Oman, the UAO, the United Arab oligarchs, they are finished. Iran will desalinate their desalinating. They will resalinate them, and that'll be the end of that.
So we've got another poll running right now. Who funds more terrorism worldwide, USA versus Iran? And it's 91% of the viewers think the USA funds more terrorism worldwide.
I mean, it's
worldwide.
Israel, number one. Israel and their proxies, UAE, Saudi Arabia, or really the United States also uses them as proxies. But it's for Israeli national interest. It's not in America's interest to have a civil war in Sudan or to topple Syria. That doesn't help America. That's Israel's problem.
So how's this going to play out in the next few days? You know, Trump's talking about this peace, did actually manage to make the stock market stop sliding. Dow Jones is 46,000 right now, still way below where Pam Bondi was bragging about it. Oil back above 100
about the
today.
Dow?
Dow, yeah, about 50,000. Oil back above 100 today, Brent crude. How do you think this is going to play out in the next week? Do you think this could capitulate again?
Because, you know, the price is based on supply, but it's also based on speculators. So if enough speculators think the war is about to end, you know, then they will bet accordingly. But I could tell you this, and I've been batting 1,000. I say that every show and every time I say something, a month later, there it happens. This war is not about to end. This war is about to get a lot worse. And so he says he has a deal and he's talking to people. He is not talking to anyone. Iran is not interested in talking to him. He has no deal. He had to get intermediaries just to even deliver his demands to Iran. And they just laugh. They're like, You don't get to make demands. We're making demands. And our demands is you get out of the Gulf, stop attacking Hezbollah in Yemen, and pay reparations. Also, we're going to put a toll booth on the Strait of Hormuz from now on. You did that. You know, and that's some, that last one, something they might be able to negotiate with a little bit, or some states will. Europe won't. Anyone that's taking America's side is on the wrong side. You are not going to win. He cannot send in, I mean, he can send in ground force. He can do it, but it isn't going to go very well. If you don't put in at least 300,000, then you're just throwing them into the meat grinder. If you trickle that in, like Vietnam style, they're just going to go over there and die.
So you think, you said earlier on, you know, oil potentially up to 150. That would get the Dow Jones, I reckon, below 40,000. So do you think that's feasible?
It depends. Like, for oil to hit 150, they would have to start messing with Iranian oil refineries or storage, and then Iran would do it back. And then, yeah, it would go supernova. But even if they, if they go into Iran's southeast coast, or the Marines try to take like Greater Tumba, if there's a lesser and Greater Tumba Island or something, so they know that, just the speculators realize this war is going to go on, you know, into May, maybe June, it still could reach 150 just from that.
Well, I'm going to do another poll now. Will oil hit, let's say, 125, 150, and I'll add 200 as well, see what the viewers think.
I think right now 111 is like the cap, but that's only because all these people think it's about to end. They're about to negotiate. And once they realize, you can only lie but so many times, you know, before even even a Wall Street person understands. So it's just, it'll go above 111. 125 would be a disaster. You remember how bad that was with Iraq? That's, yep. You know, and it's not just the price of oil. It's LNG and all the, it's fertilizer. It's any derivative of these petrochemicals. It's also the imports. What's the Gulf going to do? They import 80 to 90% of their food. What's going to happen? Australia has got like 37 days of jet fuel left. Philippines, Vietnam, there's some Cuba has the lights off right now because of the embargo. Like, countries, if you don't have oil for a period of time and you don't have large reserves like Japan or China, then yeah, you can no more. You can't drive to work. You can't fly a plane. And if you use it for electrical purposes, the lights will go out.
So I remember with the Iraq war, then they had the amphibious Marines landing and CNA were all set up, staged. And then they showed the precision strikes and all this stuff, you know, shock and awe. We're doing great. Is it going to be this time Iranian drone swarms just annihilate these troops landing at Karg Island or wherever they intend to go?
Well, with the Iraq war, you were attacking a defeated nation because they'd already had a war in 91. They had a war which was preceded by an 8-year war with Iran that was just annihilated both places. Then you had many years of sanctions which crippled Iraq. 100,000 people a year were dying from those sanctions. So when they're all softened up and they went in and they didn't go in alone, they had the British, the Polish, the Americans, they all went in and they still lost thousands of soldiers. But they decimated Iraq. Congrats. Iran is much larger than Iraq. They haven't been so decimated economically. They're not that desperate. They've got geographic advantages. You can't do like flat plain tank warfare, the stuff America excels at. It's mountains. And it's a game. You don't know where the ballistic missiles are. Iran has a million men. Back in the 90s and things, in early 2000, America could throw 300,000 boots on the ground. They can't do that anymore. And even if you did, they're millennials. So you need twice as many. Gen X could fight. Millennials, they do this, you know. They don't know what they're doing. I'm not kidding, like this is kind of tongue-in-cheek, but they had to lower the requirements to become a Marine or to join the Army because not enough kids could pass the push-up test to do the physical fitness.
Which is that'll just be
standard. It's been that way 60s, 70s, 80s, you know. They can't find enough able-bodied people to do the military. That's how out of shape they are.
which is exactly what Adam Smith wrote in The Wealth of the Nations. The empire will become fat and decadent, and if the military will be effeminized and unwarlike, and other nations will be warlike. But now we've got the nuclear possibilities. Could this turn into a nuclear war, either through Israel saying existential threat to us now, we're going to have to use tactical nukes across Iran, etc.?
I can tell you, if you nuke a non-nuclear country like Iran, Russia will nuke Ukraine.
Really?
Why not? I mean, if this is what we're doing, we're just using nukes now. You start a war, you start to lose, and then you start nuking them.
Yeah, but wouldn't U.S. automatically nuke Russia if Russia nukes Israel?
Well,
Russia, you mean you said Ukraine? You said Ukraine. Sorry. Ukraine.
Well, they're not going
to. Yeah, Ukraine. I see.
No. Yeah. That would be lovely, but no, that's not going to happen. But Iran might nuke Israel. Like Iran, it depends on how many you nuke. Are you going to hit them with 100 nukes? Yeah, that would destroy the whole place. But you can't. I mean, you can't behave like that. If you use a tactical nuke, Iran will spin up and make 1 to 3 bombs, and they only need one. 70% of Israel's population lives in Haifa and Tel Aviv. If you just plop it right there, that's the end of Israel. Kind of hope they do it.
So isn't Iran incentivized to get a nuke ASAP now? Because the fatwa,
everyone is,
has been removed. You know, the ISIL was wiped, etc. If I was in Iran's shoes, I would be contacting Pakistan right now, saying, "Help us out, bro."
Well, imagine being Khomeini right now. Like, imagine if someone killed your wife, killed Iggy, killed your father. Like, this is the same scenario. Are you gonna have any mercy? Any normal person would just become an enraged, like if someone killed my kids and my wife and my father, oh, death from above. I'm not going to negotiate with them, you know, and that's what you just put in place. And the Fatah order against nukes is from his father. You think the son cares? You nuke Iran, they will build a nuke and nuke you back. They have to. And they'll be able to do it. It's underground. You won't be able to get at it. Pakistan has nukes, and you would completely wipe out the whole concept of a non-proliferation treaty, because everyone's who can will build a nuke, because they realize if you don't, a U.S. and Israel will attack you.
Yeah, and they're telling us they're doing this to make the world a safer place, folks, and they're making the whole world completely unstable and putting us all on the verge of a Great Depression. It's crazy. Ryan, you've done almost an hour. Do you have time to answer some viewer questions?
Let's do a lightning round.
Lightning round.
Like, we would not have your gas is the price that it is because some Israeli PDF files decided to get into the U.S. and weaponize them against their enemies for some end times prophecy theological nonsense.
All right. When do you think the war will when do you think the war will finish? That's from Disco.
Well, yeah. Iran's got enough offense to drag this out till September. Let's hope it ends. I'd like it to end soon. It's just, and it could if Trump would just leave, but he's dumb and fat and orange, and he's going to stay in it. So,
they're awarding Trump prizes right now he incoherently negotiates with his imaginary friends.
Who gave him a prize? It's just, he's nuts, man. And have you seen there's a show in America called Saturday Night Live? You familiar? It's a comedy show.
Yeah,
the guy playing Pete Hegseth nailed it.
Oh god,
that's so good. What's up, chodes? We're bombing Essen.
And that guy's
just like
the head
a
of
drunk
that.
Commentator from Fox. Like, he's a salesman. He's not a military planner. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just in there like, give me my creatine monohydrate.
He's a useful idiot. When I watch him,
I dare you to chug some Fireball. That would do it.
He's like a wannabe jock. He wouldn't even fit in with the jocks.
All these tattoos. He's like the water boy on the football team. He really wanted to play but couldn't. And he's just it's some dumb frat boy. Except he's not, he's in a dark, allegedly. And it gets dumber. I mean, Mike Huckabee doesn't believe in dinosaurs, and, you know, Ted Cruz. It's just, they're all gaffy for Israel. They're all compromised. You're like, all right, what is it? Little girls or little boys? Just tell us which one or both.
You know, Sock wants to know Sock wants to know, is this war the best distraction from the Epstein files?
Yes and no. Like, it definitely has bumped it out of the news cycle for the general public and what they're talking about, but it hasn't gotten it away because Congress is still subpoenaing people involved in the Epstein files. So you're going to see Lutnick get subpoenaed, Darren Endike, Richard Kahn. The other day, Massey got on the floor and he named Leon Black and Jess Staley and some others by name. So I hope they go after Leslie Groff and Sarah Kellen and the ones that know everything and have the masseuse book. I'm going to be helping with that. So don't worry. Like, we got that. That's still going on. It's just not like in front of you. No one is let up on Epstein. We're never going to let up on that.
It's coming back.
Did you see the commercial from Moran, allegedly from Moran? It was like, it's showing these scenes. And so you can see like Hiroshima and a little kid looking up at the sky and everything's just destroyed. Yeah. And then you see, and in this sequence of things, there's a little girl on the island. I'm like, girl, yeah, it gave me goosebumps.
Mr. Magoo wants to know, Ryan, do you think Trump is getting sick of his greatest allies, including Israel?
Yeah, you know, you think he ought to, but.
Aren't they inbred, though? Isn't his daughter married to an agent and et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, he is one of them. He's not sick of them. He is them. That's who he works for. I think America's getting sick of the little parasite at Capitol Hill, the Epstein clients running the show. They want to kick him out. If Trump's just there, like, whatever BB says is what he does. The whole world's on him. Like, all his traditional allies are angry at him. MAGA is turning on him. Nobody wants this war. It's stupid. It's for Israel. We know it. And we know why. It's not just because of bribes from Adelson and AIPAC. It's because Epstein. I want to make it, you know, without having to say it, you can know. You know what it is.
I think Kushner's got huge sway.
Yeah, the old Citigroup building. They do own 666 Fifth Avenue. They overpaid for that, too.
Agent Orange wants to know, does the ICC have anything in the works, or are they letting the U.S. go down once and forever?
I hope that Agent Orange is named after the band and not the chemical weapon. Good band, by the way. Surf band. They were in a vampire movie called Pale Blood or something. Unfortunately, the International Criminal Court is kind of toothless. This is like something leftists like to point to and go, rah, rah, rah. They never... Other than some African despots, who do they ever actually prosecute, you know? It's like, whatever.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Marie wants to know if Trump, you think Trump's family could have been threatened if Trump doesn't do what BB wants? I mean, were these assassination attempts, were they to get Trump in line, perhaps?
They tried to blame it on Iran. Like, you know,
of course,
Iran tried to kill you. And you know how every accusation is a confession? It lets you know who was behind Thomas Crooks. And act like he had no social media. That's bull. They farmed him out. They profiled him. They found this loser that wanted to, you know, have a significant death and take out somebody. He didn't care who. And they put him on that rooftop. And Kim Cheadle and the Secret Service left a little slice of the perimeter open on a rooftop overlooking the stage where the president was going to be. I mean, holy cow. You know, I'm surprised his name wasn't Lee Harvey Thomas Crooks or something. Like, it was, they tried to kill him. And then when he only clipped his ear, the Secret Service didn't shoot him, police did. They said, oh, he got him. No, Butler got him from behind. They just washed his history. Then there was a second attempt by a guy who was also in a BlackRock commercial and within Ukraine with neo-Nazis. You know, that's not Iran doing that. Your boy Zelensky, you know, and BB, they're the ones that want you. They wanted to put Nikki Haley in power. They were going to kill Trump, put her in. They thought they had a shot. But either way, they got him compromised. Like, he got in. Because he was saying stuff like, we're not going to have war. We're going to, all his promises. They're like, ugh, you can't do that. So what do? They finesse the Epstein files and they go, oh, okay. You think you can do an executive order and whitewash this whole thing, but you didn't anticipate a congressional order where they get to go and look at it. And so, you know, 3 million of the files are not released, which the more you say it and then don't do it, and or you redact the mess out of it, or you do the binder gate, the worse it got, right? Doing that, more attention on it. And the Israelis have all the files because it was their operations. They get Trump to do whatever they want. Like, hey, we don't care if we go down with you. Because the thing is, when you implement the blackmail, you're implicating yourself too, right? You got it. Like, well, how did you get that? Well, they don't care. They're like, it's do or die for them. They're losing support in America. They're looking at India, but that's not a real superpower. And if they lose America, they're done. And they know it. And the entire left abandoned them. Most of the right has abandoned them. They're left with their like hardcore Christian evangel boomers or whatever. And that's just not enough. You're going to see a clean sweep in the midterms for Democrats to win. I've never voted for a Democrat in my life. I'm heterosexual. But I will, just to impeach Trump.
So Millers wants to know, who do you think shot the missiles at Diego Garcia? Are we going to see more false flags by U.S. Israel trying to create more chaos?
I don't think any missiles were fired. I think they just made the whole story up. you don't even have to do the false flag. All you need is a false report. We're like, oh, there were some missiles, but we intercepted them. I'm like, from where? Did they come all the way from Tehran? Or do they come from the coast? Because there's a 900-mile difference. And that does matter if you're going to say they can hit European capitals. Which part of Iran did that come from? Or was it fired from the sea? If it's fired from the sea, where? And which Iranian vessel? Was it a sub? Was it a boat? Did you get them? What? There's no explanation. They don't know where it came from. It's just there out of the blue and got intercepted. Really, they suddenly have this capacity, huh? I think it's a made-up story. I don't think there was any interception. I don't think there's any firing. And Iran's like, we didn't do it. And why not take credit for that? Be like, yeah, see, we have that. They're like, it wasn't us. So it wasn't them. And they're like, did the Israelis fire on it and the Americans intercepted it? I'm like, why? Why even bother? Just say some were fired. Just lie. And that's what they've been doing. I don't think anything happened.
Just looking at the viewers poll then. We're asking if the viewers think oil is going to spike to 125, 150, or 200. And oh my goodness, 16%, 125, 32%, 150, 52% think 200, which Iran said is its objective to destabilize. Via wants to know, Ryan, I'm hearing Japan is paying for the oil in yuan instead of yen. Can you clarify, please?
That is memes on Twitter. Japan has always bought oil from Iran and yen. This is nothing new. Like I said, from 07 to 19, they use yen. India is buying with rupees again, right? They're not using yuan. That was something that went out. They're like, oh, Iran will allow it through, but you're going to have to pay the Chinese currency. Oh, they're breaking the petrodollar. It doesn't matter if they pay in yuan or yen or coins of gold or whatever. As long as it's not dollars, it's already not dollars, right? But Japan would rather not have oil than pay for it in Chinese currency. I can promise you that is not happening. They will pay for it in yen, and Iran is happy to accept yen. Almost all international trades are in dollars, euros, yuan, or yen because they're the most stable. They're not going to take pesos or baht or royales, whatever, because there's too much volatility. But the yen, they'll absolutely accept that, and they always have.
James wants to know if you think Russia has a good idea where Israel's submarines are.
I don't think they know where the subs are by, as in like they've got an eye on them or something. I think they know where they are strategically, knowing where they would put them. But I worry about their nuclear subs. Like, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. But what you need to know is, okay, what's our counter option? If they do this, they can annihilate Israel completely. Look, Iran's it would be horrible. You could kill 12 million people. So you use a nuke, you hit Tehran. This is horrible. You kill 12 million people instantly. Okay. And then Iran does it back. How many people live in Israel? Less than 12 million. That's the end of Israel.
Method is
just basic geography. Like, you're small and can be wiped out in two shots. Iran is huge. You would need a lot of nukes.
Method is asking, how bad do you think they have the blackmail is they have over Trump?
I think he murdered people. I think it's way worse than the sexual stuff. I think he had those kids killed.
Wow.
Okay. I think he had Epstein killed. I think I agree with Mark Epstein. Trump's the one that ordered him dead. You think about it. The jail didn't decide that on their own. It's not like over at MC, they're like, hey, kill this prisoner. That is an order from above. And who can order a jail to kill a prisoner besides the governor and the president? That's about
well,
it.
Well, if it's a federal prison and you're head of the federal government, then you've got the power over the whole apparatus.
And who needed him out? And all his donors are like, get rid of him, get rid of him. We can't let him go to the trial. So Trump's like, kill him. And you just made a kill order on a prisoner. There's blackmail on you.
Disco's asking, do you think the Greenland invasion will happen?
No. And here's how you know. Before any invasion, all you need to do is don't listen to the words, watch the movement. And so that's what I was saying. I'm like, well, where are the carriers? Because the U.S. is not going to start a war with Iran unless they have at least a couple carriers in place. So they brought the Lincoln and the Gerald Ford. You watch the 82nd Airborne. You see where the troops are going. And because they had this huge buildup before Venezuela. They had this big buildup before Iran. In the past, they had this huge buildup before Iraq. There's no buildup for Greenland. Of course, you'd only need like one boat, but that's not going to happen. And the Inuit that live up there no, we're not you. They're just not going to accept it. So it was a bunch of blah, blah, blah. But, the fact that there's even a 1% chance of invading Greenland shows you how insane our president is.
So you're getting asked by Marjorie if you've read The Secret Life of Bill Clinton.
No, but I got some of The Secret Life of Hillary Clinton. Gary Byrne and Marty Allen, they both told me probably a couple books worth of information on old Wintergreen.
Partners in Power is a good book about the Clintons, and my book, Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracy Stuff.
That's right, Sean's book. I do have it.
So next
that
question
was a Mick
is
Foley level shameless plug.
Had to do it. So I think Iran is going to win morally. Many say they will win this war also militarily. Then there are some that say USA are mad enough to set it all on fire, Armageddon. What do you think?
Look, if Trump wanted Armageddon, he would have went ahead and attacked their oil right away. He threatened that. He didn't do it. Because he knows. He's like, no, that'd be a disaster. It won't be Armageddon. Armageddon's the end of the planet, though. But it could get a lot worse. And it's going to be a very bad financial toll. And the poorer countries, plus Australia, are going to get it the worst. They didn't prepare. And Trump didn't inform his allies. And he got asked that question, why didn't you tell your allies? And he did this stupid stuff about Pearl Harbor. That analogy doesn't make any sense because that would be warning your enemy, not your ally. And the Japanese did warn you about Pearl Harbor. That whole sneak attack thing's a lie. That was brought about by the McCollum memo, the oil embargo against Japan. The USS Ward sank a Japanese mini sub prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor. They had broken the communications. They knew it was coming. And Japan sent word, and they purposely fangled it. And, we didn't get it back to command because they were looking for an excuse to get into World War II because the public didn't want it after World War I. They're like, no, that was the war to end all wars. That's Europe's problem. We don't need this. But Japan was sort of had their hand forced because the oil embargo knocked out 90% of their oil, and the U.S. was enforcing that after just telling them they wouldn't do that. Japan had negotiators in Washington talking to them, and the U.S. made all these promises, and they broke every one of them. So Pearl Harbor was not just Japan. Oh, surprise. Plus, at that time, Hawaii was not part of the United States. It is now. Hawaii wouldn't become part of the United States to the end of the 1950s. This is the 1940s. Why do you have a base in Hawaii? How did Hawaii become a state? Who killed the queen? That was pure imperialism, the way that they were forced in tariffs and other things. That's that history. But anyway, even if it was a complete surprise attack out of the blue by the evil Japs or whatever, the analogy still doesn't make sense, because he said, why didn't you tell your allies? Japan told Germany and Italy what they were going to do. Well, you didn't tell any of your allies. I understand not telling Iran. That's the equivalent of not telling the U.S. But he just made this dumb comment and didn't answer the question. And I can tell you what happened. Takaichi is talking to Trump, and she looked at her watch, which in Japan, if you're in a meeting and you look at your watch, that's super offensive, like very subtle. And when she took a deep breath, she looked at her watch twice. And that was just like giving the middle finger. Before she even landed back in Japan, Japan had already negotiated with Iran to buy their oil in yen, and Iran said yes.
Whoa.
Because of that Pearl Harbor comment. They're like, just buy it. Just give them the yen. And
oh, my God. Get
their boats out of there. Yeah. They were willing to work with the U.S. until that comment. They're like, okay, that's it.
Mr. Magoon's wondering if Trump's increasingly insane behavior could qualify him to be removed.
Article 25. I mean, they didn't remove Biden, and he was gone. You know, he had dementia bad, and they still kept him in there. So I don't know, but he ought to be removed. He clearly, him and his whole cabinet's insane. Him and Hegseth are nuts. And the Lindsey Grahams and the Cruz, the people, they're all in the White House doing a prayer, like touching each other's shoulders and stuff. What is this? What happened to separation of church and state, by the way? Like that, and that's going to make a lot of Christians mad too, because they're like, we're not praying to go to war. That's not how they practice their religion. That's how you practice it. You know, you meaning Trump and his cronies, like they're mad about that too. He's nuts. He's got dementia. He's 80 years old. He doesn't know what's going on. He's insulated himself from any good advice. He's listening to Kushner, Lutnick, and Mark Levine, and, you know, a bunch of people with another country's interest at heart. And poor Tulsi Gabbard, because you know she knows better. She sat there and just committed career suicide. And then Joe Kent resigns just because he probably is just too disgusting. And it was a good move. He'll do more damage. He had a tweet about it. Said everything I say. We went to war in Syria and Iraq because of Israel, and now Iran because of Israel. He told the truth. 73 million views.
Viewers, put a one in the chat if you think Lindsey Graham and Trump should send their own young family members to invade Iran. Put a two in the chat if you think that they shouldn't, because apparently Trump dodged the draft 5 times and not one member of his family has served in the military. If you go back 100 years.
Would you know the difference between Iran and Vietnam? Trump knew how to get out of Vietnam.
I've not heard that one before. That's great. Looks like it's nearly all ones coming in. Is an interesting one from Schnee. Where will Europe end up once Iran is pushed out of the U.S. Army is pushed out of the Middle East?
Doesn't look good for them, man. Europe is, except for maybe Spain, Greece, and Ireland, they're kind of, and Norway's got its own oil, whatever. But yeah, the Europeans need to be taking that deal with Russia for long-term oil and gas. Do it. The U.S. 100% will stab you in the back. The Gulf states are falling apart financially and otherwise. It's going to be very, unless this ends in the next few weeks, they'll never be the same. Just the repairs they have to do on LNG alone in Qatar and Kuwait is going to be years, not weeks, years, just to get to where they were. So, and that was the lifeline for Europe. They got a majority of their fossil fuels from that area. So, yeah, better be nice to the Russians. But I can't see Keir Starmer or any of these goons doing that. It's like they want to destroy where they live. Because they only care about themselves. They don't care about you. And they're profiteering and being paid to make these bad choices at the expense of your own nation. I just saw where the cops are being harassed in the Tate trial because, they said lack of evidence and they threw out these accusations. So now the investigators are being investigated because they didn't have the conclusions the state wanted. That's where Britain's at. It's just, didn't the House of Lords, I hope this was false, but there's a video showing that they gave the okay for birth abortions, like abortion all the way up 9 months. Is that did that happen? Like,
I'm not sure, but there is news come out in the last day on Russia, and that is that the UK is now going to start seizing Russian Shadow Fleet ships. They're going to board. This is from the British forces are now ready to board and detain ships in Russia's so-called Shadow Fleet in UK waters. Russia is accused of operating ships without a valid flag to avoid sanctions on oil and help fund the war in its war against Ukraine. This has just come out
around
in the UK.
Around a fifth of the world's oil supply, that's another 20%, by the way, that's just like Strait of Hormuz, is Shadow Fleet ships. And that goes all the way to South America, to Russia. It's kind of like everyone knows they're there, but they know the catastrophe if it were to be blocked. And, you know, the way they're doing storm shadows, no pun, that's just the name of the missile, and letting in Ukraine hit targets deep in Russia, like the UK better be careful, because I can tell you in all scenarios where Russia loses their shit and fires nukes, guess who the first city to go?
London.
Yep.
Yeah, and just adding a bit more to that question as well, if you look at the oil shocks of the 70s, if, like Ryan said, if this does continue, we're going to see economic consequences more akin to those level here in Europe, because Europe is so fragile with the incompetent leaders we've got.
That's your
future. Energy prices, how we cut off the energy from Russia, etc. It's,
I bet
it's
Germany crazy. Regrets turning off the nuclear power now.
Yeah.
You know, whatever you can offset electric-wise from nuclear power, do it. But it really won't solve your problem with gasoline and plastics and fertilizer and all these other things. Like, you got to have oil. And it's right there. You could buy. Russia's not your enemy. You could just buy the oil from Russia. And you decided, nah, you know, they're going to take over all Europe. Like, okay, well, you're going to lose Europe anyway if you don't have any sources of oil.
Ryan, your thoughts on Bill Cooper's predictions?
Yeah, I mean, well, he called 9/11 and he got that one right. Bill Cooper used to work for Naval Intelligence and used to do what Alex Jones did, where he would just derail subjects on purpose and talk about, you know, absolute nonsense. But when he got wind of the plot for 9/11 that they're going to kill Americans, he went off script and he just started.
Yeah, we got to stay away from 9/11. I mean, I've already had trouble over that.
Oh, well, just yeah, okay. Yeah. Anyway, that 7/11. You got that right.
Do you think that Joe Kent will be Charlie Kirked?
Oof. Is his name already a verb? He might get JFK'd. No, I don't think so. He's not. Charlie was, he made so many people mad, including the tranny mafia and stuff. And he was an advisor in a way. He had access to the White House, and he would tell Trump, don't go to war with Iran. He even told Joe Kent, hey, don't let Trump go to war with Iran. So a certain faction really wanted to get rid of him. And they did. They shot him in the neck in front of his kids.
Other countries that are restricting power, such as Cuba?
I'm hearing Mexico is now going to deliver oil to Cuba, so they might come save the day. But, yeah, Trump has basically blocked that in, you know, Venezuela. They say they don't control Venezuela, but like, well, they control it enough. The lights went out in Havana, except for one 5-star hotel, which probably had generators. But, yeah, they don't have enough oil. And that's what can happen anywhere. You're like, oh, no, we're a main character. That won't happen here. That you just one day, thing going, you go to turn on your computer, it doesn't turn on. You don't have electricity. Like, that happens. That's how fragile all these modern systems. Ted Kaczynski, my boy, he was right about all this. It's super fragile. You need all these complex systems working and working all the time. One disruption in, you know, the Strait of Hormuz and the lights go off in Cuba and Australia. Like, it, that's how integrated all these systems are, and they're fragile.
Is there anything anyone could do to get rid of Trump? I had so much hope. What a mess.
Well, if he if the opposition party gets a majority in November, they could impeach him. But he's still got to make it to November, which seems he could need to get rid of him now. But look, it wouldn't have been any different with Harris. That's what I need to stress. If you look at it, Biden and Obama gave us the war in Syria, where they aided Al Qaeda and killed hundreds of thousands of people. You know, Bush the Lesser killed about 1 million people in Iraq. Trump's nowhere near their numbers. You know, like, I know he sucks, he's evil, whatever, but if you are objective and you're counting the death count, Bush, Clinton, Obama, Biden killed far more people with their wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and Syria. Obama invaded Libya too, and Syria, and he tripled the size of the war in Afghanistan, and he doubled the size of Gitmo. Don't forget that. Bush Jr. invaded Iraq, total fiasco, and Afghanistan, which lasted 21 years. So, like, as horrible as Trump is, he seems like the worst president ever because you have the internet and you can hear all the things he did. But think about the previous presidents, far more murder. And under Biden Harris, they sold JDAM weapons that were being dropped on babies in Gaza. So don't act like, well, if Trump wasn't there, Biden Harris, they would have sponsored the riots in Iran, and then Israel would have started the war anyway, and they would have got dragged in the same way. It doesn't matter who you vote for. You always get a Zionist overlord. Until you break that monopoly on media, you cannot fix culture, and you cannot fix politics until you fix culture. It all starts with the media. That's why, like, Substack and Telegram and, to a degree, Twitter are so vital, because some of the best journalists, this is the only place they're allowed to speak. And that's what that information is. This is why, like, Trump is getting destroyed, you know, on a public relations level. But that should have happened to Bush. And that should have happened to Clinton. And that should have happened to Obama. And that should have happened to Biden. But it didn't, because there was no free speech. Elon hadn't bought Twitter yet. And that's what really broke. And TikTok, to agree. Now that's over. But we had a window where TikTok could tell you the truth. So, I mean, you got to look back on it. Remember Syria. Hundreds of thousands died. Remember Iraq and how bad that was. And there was no reason to kill Gaddafi and hand Libya over to Al-Qaeda. None. And so what Trump has done is a disaster, but body count-wise, he's lost a lot of money and he's killed some people, but not even close to the rest of them. Like, the worst president was Lincoln. And then after that, you can argue, but it's not Trump, not yet. And I hate him. I think he's awful, but come on. Compared to Bush and Obama, he's nothing.
Yeah, it's an illusion of choice, folks. They're all instruments of evil. Joshua wants to know, do you think there could be a situation where Iran would just surrender?
No, because there's no quarter. Like, they'd end up like Gaza. They surrender their missiles, then the U.S. and Israel just bomb them back into the Stone Age. There'll be nothing to stop them.
What, even if they got nuked, do you think they wouldn't surrender?
If they got nuked enough times, they wouldn't have a choice. But if you just use one or two, no, they'll nuke you back. But man, if you dropped like dozens of nukes on a non-nuclear country because you were losing a war that you started, the whole world's now against you, cannot trust you. And you'd lose all that oil too, like all the Iranian oil and natural gas. That would be gone. And on their way out, they'll go ahead and blow up the oil fields in Saudi Arabia and be like, they just need one drone, you know, boom. Now nobody has oil. Go back to the paper age.
How fragile are the supplies of water in that part of the world?
So Iran only relies, they only desalinate about 8 or 9% of their water. They've got rivers and things. They could survive that. However, the Gulf countries in Israel cannot. You're looking at 80%. And it's not like you die of thirst instantly. You have a few days, you know. So I'm sure Europe and America would send it in bottled water, but it would be extremely expensive and you cannot sustain that. They'd have to leave. Like, populations would have to leave and go where the water is.
So the U.S. hasn't hit Iran's water supplies yet?
No, because Iran will do it back.
All right. We've got, do you think the threat from Iran to Trump is real? Will Trump be around much longer if the threat from Iran is real?
Look, he's assassinating their leaders. That makes him fair game. Same thing with Gavir, Netanyahu. I mean, you killed the Ayatollah. You killed Raisi. You killed Soleimani. If you're going around assassinating generals and presidents and prime ministers and religious leaders, then you've put a target on yourself. You are the commander in chief of the opposing military. You are a legitimate military target.
Ryan, we're at 90 minutes. I'm just going to hover so people can see this beautiful T-shirt that I've got on. I've also got the hoodie here as well. Baby Ziggy's got stuff from Ryan's store. If you want to support his important work, he doesn't ask for donations. He just asks that you check out his store. If there's anything there that you like, grab it. And that supports his research, his important work, and all of his links are in the description box below this video. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion, Ryan?
We got some new stuff in the shop. Team Amalek's in there. We got a Pro Ran gear. Just to dig in on these, like, these people are demonic, man. They torture kids. They have rituals where they abuse animals and they mutilate their own sons' penises. And these people, like, that's what circumcision is. I mean, but they use their teeth and stuff. It's just, it doesn't need to exist. Israel, I'm like, just they don't deserve to exist. I used to say they already exist, they're right to defend themselves. Mm-mm. Get rid of Israel. I want this war to continue till Israel is gone. It's the only way to get rid of this world cancer is just destroy that place and go back home, go back to Europe where you're from, whatever. Get rid of that place. Cannot be left there as a base of operations to invade all their neighbors and kill millions of people, which they've been doing. It's got to go.
All right.
It's got to go the same way like the Nazis had to go in Germany. Like, you got to get rid of political Zionists.
All right, brother. I'll let you go and close the show. And a huge thank you for coming on, man. Fascinating. Cheers.
You're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you. Cheers. Bye. All right, viewers. Like I said, Ryan's got loads of cool stuff at his store. I'm going to put his links in the live chat right now. We've got Epstein maps framed on our walls in the house here. It's a great way to support him. Instead of just throwing money at him, you get something in return. And I am back. Let's see, when am I back? Da, 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 da. Kids in cages, MK Ultra, Operation Paperclip, What Was Hidden. This is Saturday at 7 p.m. UK time. Author Holly Baglio is going to be sharing her personal account of growing up in the shadow of MK Ultra. That's my next one. We've got Shane working on getting us more military experts, Alex Craner, etc. Scott Ritter, trying to get those guys on. I'm watching it all the time. As you guys know, I followed the financial markets. I've worked in financial markets since I was 14. I've followed the financial markets. So it's something I do keep an eye on. And we're seeing huge swings. We saw the collapse of gold and silver. Well, pullbacks, they're still up quite considerably. We're seeing the Dow Jones no longer above 50,000, more around 46,000 right now. And I'm watching Brent back above 100, which is the one that's going to determine the fate of whether the stock market really does collapse down to about 40,000. I mean, I'm looking at the poll. You guys have, and 51% of you think oil could hit 200. That is going to be a global depression level if it hits 200. So that would cause, you know, 1970s level stock market crash. 31% are saying 150, and the rest are saying 125. But yeah, I think it's going higher, and I don't think this ground invasion is going to work out very well for the administration either. It's just the beginning of a commitment that's going to go on and on and on and on. I don't see any easy way out if you're looking at what US is demanding versus what Iran is demanding. Never the twain shall meet. So thanks for tuning in, folks. Is the sun out? Yep, sun's back out. Going to go and enjoy some sun. Do a bit of training.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.